This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. High School Roundtable in a moment. Playoff time. And the big games coming up. And the games around here, most of the games are on Saturday, as a matter of fact. I mean, there's Saturday games coming up. As a matter of fact, along the way, and I know, do we have Chief there today, Greg?
Yep, Chief's,
we're here.
Chief's here.
Yep.
Good. Great to have you guys with us. Because last week, Greg and Zach never got to speak.
That's my fault. I was on my way to South Bend, Indiana.
Yeah,
apologize
for
that, Steve. I really do.
I mean, Dave, it's like I finally got the chance to ask the second question to Greg, and we were out of time in the show.
Yeah.
But I got a complete explanation on the history of Shikellamy football, which was tremendous. I mean, it was...
It was probably traumatic, too.
Well, I mean, no offense to all the good people at, in the area, but I'd say a quarter of the way through, I left. Okay. So let's get to it. Sealands Grove Shikellamy. Dave, what did you learn the first time they played that needs to be improved upon and changed this time through?
Well, we really struggled with the run, and Teets is one of the best back. Well, he's the best back in the area. I mean, he's strong, he's fast, and, you know, he's one of those kids that's just a big playmaker. And we really struggled at really trying to stop the run. I thought we didn't do too bad of a job in the passing game, but, you know, when you have runners that go 60, 70 yards at a clip, you really don't have to throw the ball. So that's one thing that the Braves have to do. They've got to be able to contain him. And Bastian, he's a great receiver. And I don't think he's been utilized as much as they probably should have, because maybe they didn't need to. But he's a quality receiver. And again, our youth is going to probably be a big factor, because when you lose, we lost three of the top upperclassmen that were on defense, and so they've been replaced by freshmen and sophomores, and that's the story with the defense. The offense, the Braves' offensive line had a little trouble with Sealands Grove's defense. They have a lot of different stunts, and sometimes you got five guys and you're trying to block eight, and it just doesn't work out. So being able to protect Brody Raybuck will be a big factor, and if the Braves can, you know, put the ball in the end zone.
All right. Now, here's another factor as well. One of the keys to a game like this, to me, is your ability to possess the ball and keep their offense off the field. So people will say, well, okay, third down. No, it's first and second down. And if you have third and shorts, you then have a better shot at doing it. Is Shikellamy been doing enough on first and second down so it's a manageable third down?
I would say no. I thought they did it at Bloomsburg when they had the victory. You know, it's really nice if you can pick up 4 yards or 5 yards on that first down. And you're absolutely right. If you've got third and long, you're really in trouble. And that's something the Braves offense struggled with. But they can. I mean, I've seen them. I've already seen them open up with a pass to pick up, you know, 6 yards on an out. And that's a big plus. Where they really run into trouble is, you know, if they run a swing pass to right or left and the ball's dropped, or they get thrown behind the line of scrimmage, or the runner gets, you know, thrown for a loss. And here's my big pet peeve. You got first and 10 and you jump off sides, or you have motion and now you're first and 15.
Yes.
And that's really hard to recover from. So they're capable of it, Steve. I just think that they have to execute, and they got to make the play. I'll just put it that way.
Is this one of those games where each possession has to be gold for Shikellamy? I mean, there's some teams that can get away with some bad possessions because they're just better. Is this something where they need to do at least something, whether it's change field position or score in every possession?
Yeah, I think it is. One of the things that the offense can't do, they can't let Selins Grove's defense score a touchdown, because Selins Grove's very capable of doing that with intercepting the ball or you know picking up a fumble. And so every play that the offense is on the field is very valuable, because I think what you said before, the best way to stop Selins Grove's offense is to keep them off the field. And if you can just get a couple of sustained drives, I'm not saying the Braves will win, but it's not going to be one of those mercy rule games at the end of the first half.
Greg Montoursville. All right, and this is going to be Saturday as well. This is what, the 3 o'clock game, I think.
Yep, 3 o'clock.
Yep, 3 o'clock game against Montoursville. So, matchup-wise, because the first time Montoursville won in double overtime.
Right.
So what has to change?
Well, I think realistically what has changed since that first Montoursville game is Lewisburg settled on a quarterback. Their offense has become more proficient. They're passing the ball and running the ball, which the first time they played, they just ran the ball. I think Lewisburg just has to do what they've done the last three games, not turn the ball over and be consistent running the ball and throwing the ball. Right now they're throwing the ball when they want to, not when they have to.
Okay, so now defensively in a game like this, first time through, defense was really good. I mean, you give up 21 points in a two overtime game.
Yeah, and Montoursville
really
scored
well.
Their first touchdown to tie the game on fourth down and about 8 yards to go, fourth and goal from the 8. That's how they scored their first touchdown to tie the game in the fourth quarter. Lewisburg defensively has to pretty much do what they did that first game. The biggest difference is it was Jimmy Mussina's first game as quarterback, and he's a lefty. And that Lewisburg wasn't ready for that to start the game, because they were thought the Eberhardt kid was going to be the quarterback. He became a wide receiver. So Mussina rolls out very well to his left, sets his feet, and throws the ball. He does not do it very well rolling to his right. So Lewisburg, I think that's one of the keys, will be forcing him to move to his right instead of to his left.
How different is Lewisburg now compared to the first time they played? Because the first time they played was weeks ago.
Yes.
And you talk about the quarterback part, but I'm talking about more than just that.
I think it's really their offense has become, it's an I formation offense. They run the ball well out of that. Jeremiah Davis has had five 100-yard games rushing now. He's running the ball well. The offensive line has some confidence. They've go to a double tight end set once in a while. I think offensively is where they've really improved. Defensively, realistically, they played pretty solid all year. But offensively is where they've made the biggest improvements. And I think if they don't turn the ball over, get a lead on Montoursville, because Montoursville's lost 5 games in a row.
Yes.
And they haven't been close. The combined score is like 200-47 in those games. So I think Lewisburg gets the lead and gets some doubt in the Montoursville kids' heads. I think that goes a long way towards a win for Lewisburg.
Is that the same thing for you? Somehow get to the lead in this game, Dave, when we talk about Shikellamy?
Oh, you bet. The Braves have played from behind just about the entire season, and that's crucial. I'm going to go out here and say that I've been impressed with Lewisburg the last 5 games.
Yes.
They have really, really turned it around, and I know Greg's enjoying that.
Yes,
yeah,
I am.
He is. So. But, they've really showed people that they're pretty solid right now.
Now, we talked about age. Depth comes into play at this time of the year. Everybody's bumped up. Your team in Shikellamy is young, Dave, really young, and the depth is young. What about Lewisburg, Greg?
Pretty much the same thing. We only have 6 seniors on the team.
Yeah.
And he plays, I would say he plays 18 kids regularly on defense. On offense, he probably plays about 14, 15 kids.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of kids playing, both ways, but they're getting a lot of playing time. Younger kids. We have two defensive linemen that are freshmen that play a lot of football for Lewisburg.
That's the same with Shikellamy. Yeah. It's not just, you know, we got eight or nine freshmen and five or six sophomores that are playing. They're playing. A lot of kids are playing one way, and there's quite a few of them. So it's not just like you're taking your what I would call your best ninth graders and putting them in there, but they're letting them all play.
Yeah,
and that's got to go somewhere down the road to help the program out.
That's right.
Yep. Is there a playoff mentality, and do you think these kids understand that?
We'll find out Saturday.
That's a loaded question.
That is. You know, I can remember when I was in high school. I know it's hard to believe because it's 50 years ago, over 50 years ago. But I can remember kids talking before the last game, hey, wrestling season starts in 2 weeks or basketball season starts in a week. And we didn't have playoffs back in those days. Dave had Eastern Conference, but Lewisburg wasn't involved in that. And that's the mindset right now. These kids have to understand that every play becomes important at this time of year. You can't take a play off.
You know, one thing that the PIAA has done to help that mindset is the fact that the season, I don't think they can start practice for either one of those sports until the Friday before Thanksgiving.
Right.
So that gives, you know, even if you're playing a first playoff game like the Braves and the Green Dragons are, you still got that respite time between.
Yeah.
You know, I had one player one time about halfway through the season, we couldn't figure out. It used to be 180-pound linebacker. All of a sudden, he's down to 160, and we ask him what's going on. He says, oh, I'm getting ready for wrestling. I'm losing some weight.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So, but that was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, Steve.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Do we have Zach Showers? Not sure if we do or not. Do we have Zach? Yay, nay?
I'm here.
Yeah, right. There he is. Hey, Zach. All right, so, Zach, I asked Dave this. Now, from that point of view, from the Shikellamy point of view, what do you have to change? All right, from Seals Grove, do they have to change anything?
I really don't think they do, to be honest. I think this is a team that has a pretty solid identity of who they are as a team right now. Offensively is going to start with a run game and start with what those guys can do up front and especially what Tucker Teets is able to do. You know, I think what Sealensgrove has done a good job of over the past couple weeks is starting to sprinkle in other weapons, other guys that at that especially fullback position and some wide receivers that if teams start to stack the box that there's some plays to be made there. So overall, I wouldn't say Sealensgrove has to change too much. I think if they can take care of business this week, there's going to be some things they're going to need to change up a little bit against Jersey Shore, but the focus of this week, obviously, is on the Braves.
You want to be playing your best football at this time of the year. Leading into it, is Sealensgrove playing his best football, and if so, why?
Yeah, I think they are. I think there's a couple reasons. Obviously, up front on both sides of the ball are playing really well. That's kind of where everything starts, like I said. I think one of the big things is Mark Pastore, who struggled, a senior quarterback, but who struggled a little bit the first 5 weeks. He's just been so much more consistent the past couple weeks. He's been able to get some big plays in the passing game, able to convert on third downs. And this is a team, too, I think, you know, you talk a lot about explosive plays and turnovers, and this is a team that is consistently putting up, you know, 8 to 12 explosive plays in the run game and the passing game, and turnover margin is a big thing. Sealensgrove has only turned the ball over, I believe, 5 times on the season, and they're a team that has continued to force a lot of turnovers. We talked about it last week, and I think Sealensgrove is plus 22 or 23 turnover margin on the season. So just being able to not only get the ball but also to take care of the ball on your end, you know, makes it a team that isn't really going to beat themselves.
It may not be this week. It may be down the line. But when Sealensgrove has faced adversity, how well have they handled it?
So overall, I mean, it's been a little difficult to answer that question the past probably 5-6 weeks of the season.
Right.
But I think back to week one against Delaware Valley, where you had a team that was marching down the field, and Salins Grove was able to, in my opinion, set the tone for the whole season with a stop at fourth and goal at the 1 yard line, to be able to beat a now 7-3 Delaware Valley team that hasn't lost a game the last 7 weeks. Jersey Shore, you know, 2 weeks later, you give up a big play on the first drive, and everybody thinks, here we go again, and you're able to return a touchdown back on a kickoff return. So overall, you know, this is a team when they've gotten down a little bit, which they haven't been down in too many games, but even against Montoursville 2 weeks ago, Montoursville made some plays, and they stuck with it. One thing Derek Hicks has talked a ton about is just the senior group and how strong they are, how unified they are, that I'm very confident, and I know the coaches are confident, that if you get down in a game, if things don't go their way, that they have the ability to regroup and ultimately, they have the same unified goal. And that's easy to say. There's a lot of teams that say that, but I think time and time again, this has been a team that, regardless of the opponent, if they get down, they keep fighting, and they're not a team that overlooks anybody. They've consistently shown up the past 5-6 weeks and really just have taken care of business in games that they were highly favored.
Well, and that's, I think people have heard me say this 100 times, so I'll make it 101. But the really good teams aren't in close games, okay? Now, the issue then will come when the talent evens out. And that's why it's going to be interesting to see when the talent's relatively even, getting out of this level, whether they can be the, quote, better team. That's what I'm going to be interested to see down the road, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I think we're interested in the same thing. You know, it's sometimes nice to have mercy rule games and get out of there a little early on a Friday night. But, you know, I think anybody
And not get
that,
guys hurt. And not get guys hurt.
Yeah, exactly. But ultimately, you know, you live, and the players live for those tight games and meaningful games. So, you know, Friday night against Shikellamy, I think it helps that you're playing, you know, even though you're highly favored, you're playing a rival that you know is going to show up and give their best effort. So, you know, you do need to match their intensity a little bit. You know, but ultimately, you know, Salins Grove, I think, just needs to keep doing what they're doing and look at this as an opportunity to get better on Saturday night, and, you know, keep things the way they've been so far this season.
Zach, appreciate it very much. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Greg, Dave, appreciate you guys. I hope you appreciate the fact that you both had speaking roles this week, because last week was, well, in fact, the show ended. He was still talking. It was, I mean, Greg left, I left, Caleb left, and he was still in there talking. It was unbelievable. Back with more in a moment, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. King in the final half hour. We'll go through some picks. Have some fun there. So there you go. And at 4 o'clock this afternoon, the 2024 schedule's coming out with dates. And again, the quick, just so, you know, some of the ones that Brett McMurphy of Action Network put out as to what he knows, we'll just go with the Penn State ones, so you know what the Penn State ones that are at least out there. I think there are 4 games. UCLA and Beaver Stadium October 5th. Penn State in the Coliseum the next week against USC on October 12th. On November 2nd, Ohio State here at Beaver Stadium. And the next week on the 9th, Washington playing at Beaver Stadium. Those are the ones that are out. At least what Brett McMurphy put out. So that would be 5 other games that we'd have to find out what the schedule happens to be. So, So we'll see at 4 o'clock what that looks like. And it should be relatively benign as opposed to what's going on with the Michigan situation, which is not. And we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens with the Michigan situation. Certainly do have a lot of people upset. And I think as one of them said, he said, look, they said our jobs are at stake here. Doesn't mean they're going to beat Michigan.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmels Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Pre-owned inventory, well, they go over it with a fine-tooth comb, the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Service department, I don't care if it's routine or difficult, they can handle it. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Elmels Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Before we get to the king, we need to get to the play-by-play call of the day, the Texas Rangers Radio Network with the final call.
Two balls, two strikes. Spores kicks and fires.
He struck him out looking. It's over. It's over. The Rangers have won the World Series. Ranger fans, you're not dreaming. The Rangers are the World Series champions. After 52 years in Texas, 63 years of the franchise, the wait is over. And the celebration has begun.
That's the Rangers Radio Network. When I was a very little kid, the Washington Senators moved to Minnesota and became the Twins. They then replaced them with an expansion team, the Washington Senators, who then eventually moved to Arlington, Texas. And they finally win a world championship for the first time ever. All right. Let's bring in the king. Hello, king.
That was cool. How's it going?
Yeah. And
I watched the game.
I'm happy for Chris Young, the general manager of the Texas Rangers, because I got a chance to talk to him a little bit before the NIT game here in 2000, because he was the starting center for Princeton against Penn State in the Jordan Center. As you would expect, very articulate, well-spoken, intelligent guy. Penn State won the game big, but he played well. He had 16 points of the game. So I was happy for him. Went on, he also pitched at Princeton, too, and then went on to the major leagues and pitched in the majors for years. But he is 6'10", and he was a terrific passer at the top of the key. They run that Princeton offense with him at the high post. He was good. Good.
Texas good. You can watch baseball now. The game moves along. The changes they made are really good. You can sit and watch the game because it moves right along. It looks like the pitchers are fine,
Yeah.
They're fine with the pitch clock. And good.
Interesting.
This is off subject.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to ask you this. Do you, your Hall of Fame class in Enfield, one of the guys who went in was offensive guard or offensive tackle for Maryland. Did you know him?
I didn't look at the bios. I mean, you'd have to give me the name.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but you can look it up. I just got a huge guy, but he was All-American in Maryland, and he went to Fermi, and he was a great football player, but big dude.
I kind of assumed he didn't go to Enfield.
He was captain of the Maryland team. He started all 4 years, offensive guard, offensive tackle, something like that. But I don't know if he was you played Maryland. So
yeah, well, let me look it up. I'll look it up and see.
Next week. That's all. I thought about it when you said.
Yeah, I actually have it now. Let's see. Yeah, Jack Griffin, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. Jack Griffin. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That was at a period of time where Penn State was not playing them, right?
Yep.
But his assistant coach was James Franklin.
Yes, and he said when he gave his speech, he said, "What a small world!" He said, "James Franklin recruited me because your induction was first, and his was, I think, third."
Yeah.
And when he got up to give his speech, and you would mention, obviously, you mentioned James Franklin in your talk, and he said, "Small world," because James Franklin recruited me.
Yeah, because he played for Ralph Friedgen at Maryland, and Ralph Friedgen did not just a good job. Ralph Friedgen did a great job at Maryland. Won an ACC title, got to an Orange Bowl, and Jack Griffin was a big part of that. Because I mean, he lettered all 4 years there. I mean, that is impressive. At one point, he played on the defensive line. Then he played on the offensive line. And that's pretty impressive. You know, and I know he played in a bunch of bowl games along the way, but he was. That was a period of time where Penn State was not playing Maryland because they weren't in the Big Ten yet. When Penn State went to the Big Ten, they didn't have any non-conference games against Maryland at that point. That's why I didn't see him play in person. But I knew of him because that offensive line was really good. Maryland could really run the football back in those days with those teams.
Oh, Maryland was a powerhouse for years.
In the
Boomer
mid to late,
Esiason and
The mid to late 2000s, really. Ralph Friedgen did a phenomenal job there. He really did. And then James was the offensive coordinator.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that. I thought James just recruited him from his other school. So.
James was the offensive coordinator for them.
So, he brought that up right away. So he said it brought him home. So,
cool.
Nice kid. Not kid, he's a grown man, but big dude. Oh, he still looks in great shape. I mean, he looks like he could play now. He probably got hurt, but whatever.
No, I mean, that's, for example, take Jack Ham. Jack Ham to this day is just still in phenomenal shape.
Oh, God, he looks great.
And everybody talks about that, what kind of great shape he is in. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a tribute to him because he's always taken really good care. He's also been great with diet and something that he has really impressed upon me is the diet part of it. And it's probably one of the reasons I might be in a little better shape today than I was 15 years ago.
You look great.
But he had a big influence on it. He did.
Well, they feed your grapes. That's good.
Oh, the grape thing. Everybody asks, what are those? So we're in Ohio State, and the broadcast booth is right next to the writer's booth, and there's plexiglass. And Jerry Emig, who's the sports information director for Ohio State, and I go back with Jerry to the Atlantic 10 days 30-plus years ago. Jerry Emig is one of the absolutely great guys on the face of the earth. He's the Ohio State sports information guy. Well, Jerry Emig is a first-class guy in every way. Great pro, better person. He comes over to me during one of the commercial breaks. He says, "I got to ask you something." I said, "Yeah, sure, Jerry. What do you need?" He says, "A couple of people over there are asking." He says, "To be honest with you, I'm really curious." He says, "What is that?" I said, "They're grapes." He goes, "Really?" I says, "Yeah." He says, "It's a healthy snack." I said, "We're kind of like on a health food kick here in the booth." And people...
You can eat them like chips.
Because we're on Facebook Live, so people can... Yeah. I don't understand why people do this. In the pregame show, I can understand. like that want to watch you do the pregame show. That way they're just like watching it as you're doing it. That's fine. Right? But I don't understand people who watch you do the game instead of watching the game. But
from the front or the back?
It's just us. You can't see the field. It's like the camera's on us as we do the game.
From the back of you or the front of you?
The side.
The side.
So the side.
Okay.
And
I couldn't do that. I mean, I, in the booth, I'm bored. it's exciting for a little while, and then it's like,
right.
I can't see the field.
Right. If you can't see the field, I don't see the object. But people will then say, what's in the bag? What's in the bag?
Great.
I'll give you one good Facebook Live story. This is early on when they were doing this. There's some play happened, and Jack was like, ugh, you know, just kind of shook his head in disgust. You know, it didn't pound his fist, but kind of like gently boom on the table with his right hand.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he gets a text during the commercial break from his buddy Bob Brumbaugh. And it says, boy, you didn't really like that play, did you? And he looks over at me, he says, hey, Steve. He says, Brummy just sent me this text. I say, yeah, what did Brummy want? He says, how does he know I didn't like the last play? And I said, and I thought about it for a second. Then I looked. I go, oh, geez, that thing. I pointed to the camera. He goes, oh. So we have to watch everything. We have to watch everything we're doing all the time up there. We finally got them to take it out during commercial breaks. You know, because we need to have the freedom to, like, sit there and talk about either what we want to do next on the broadcast or what we like, or like, hey, you know maybe you ought to think about this, whatever, you know, like anybody would do. And so now they show a picture of the parking lot during commercial breaks. we used to have to go in the hallway. We're like, okay, we're out of here.
Yeah.
So, hey, we'll take a break.
I love going there. I love being up in the booth. So.
Oh, we loved having you. Believe me, it was great having you up there.
Mm.
Believe me, it was one of the best times I've had. We'll take a break. Picks in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Okay, here we go. I don't know the records from last week, and maybe we'll have to at least get Matt to text you what his predictions are to keep it going.
Well, I've got our scores from last week, and I would say that we probably should just start from scratch.
Well, I know you want to start from scratch. You're way behind.
Well, our scores from last week, I was 5-4.
That's good.
Matt was 8-1.
Wow.
And you were 6-3.
Yeah,
there you Matt
go.
Kicked butt last week. Yeah. So, I don't know. I can get Matt's got the – I didn't – I kind of have them written down, but not accurately. So I have all the games. I can, you know what? I've got all the games. I'll add them all up this week, and I'll have them next week.
There you go. Sounds good.
And I've got a page for every week.
Maybe get a hold of Matt and see what his picks are. And we'll keep his so that way he's still involved.
Yeah, well, he's got them, and he went 8-1, so he'll be all excited. So he knows exactly what his
team now feels. He has an opportunity here to join. Aaron Judge is one of the all-time greats.
Yeah. So is our new producer going to join in?
I don't know if Caleb's going to join us or not.
I may later, but I don't know.
Okay. Sounds tentative to me.
You don't have to if you don't want to, but I just pick by colors. So.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. All right, so let me see here. I want to see. I know I had the games here at one point. There we go. Nope.
I got everything right in front of me here.
Oh, yeah, then you go for it. You tell me, and we'll go.
Okay. Tennessee at Pittsburgh. NFL first. Tennessee at Pittsburgh.
All right,
Steve.
So that's tonight. Will Levis at quarterback. And he threw 4 touchdowns last week. Played great. Pittsburgh's a tougher defense, but I go with the Titans tonight.
Yeah, I got Tennessee also. Okay. Miami at Kansas City.
Well, that game's in Frankfurt, Germany.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a 9:30 game on Sunday morning on NFL Network. You know what? I know that I'm big on the Chiefs, but I am going to go with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami, too. I Kansas City is missing a beat right now.
So. Yeah.
Yep. Dolphins are explosive. And I don't know about Kansas City's defense if they can hold. I don't know if anyone can really hold the Dolphins down. Yeah. The Dolphins are the type of team that will beat themselves. But when they're on all cylinders, they're pretty hard to beat.
Yeah.
So I got Miami. Washington at New England.
Wow. Washington has dealt their pass rushers. Sweat goes to the Bears. Chase Young to the 49ers. I'm going to go with New England.
Yeah. I got New England also.
Yeah.
New England did nothing.
I know. They did nothing.
They did absolutely nothing at the trade deadline.
Like, no, that's right.
They're happy with what they have. They're happy at last week.
I just don't think they should be. No, that's just me.
Tampa Bay at Houston.
No. Oh, brutal game. I'll throw a dart and say the Texans, and it's only a dart.
Wow. I took Houston also.
Okay.
I don't want to lose anymore.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, here's a tough one. Buffalo at Cincinnati.
Oh, that is a tough one. Cincinnati's playing great football right now.
Yeah, really good. I watched them last week.
I'm not ready to jump off the Bills bandwagon, okay? So I'm going to stay with Buffalo.
Okay, I took Joe Burrow and Cincinnati.
They look really good. No, they're playing great.
Well, there's I can gain a game. Okay. Hey. NCAA. Kansas State at number 25, Kansas State at number 7, Texas.
All right, Kansas State 6-2, and they're playing really, really well. Texas is still going with their backup quarterback. But the game, if the game were in Manhattan, I would take Kansas State. But it's in Austin, I'll take Texas.
Yep, I got the Longhorns also. Missouri, number 14, Missouri at number 1, Georgia.
All right, Missouri, sometimes it's hard to explain that some teams match up better than others. For whatever reason, Missouri matches up well with Georgia. I mean, last year, 5 minutes ago, Missouri's winning the game. But with the game in Athens, boy, if the game were in Columbia, I might pick Missouri. But the game's in Athens, I'm going to go with Georgia.
Yeah, I got Georgia also.
Yep.
Number 24, the defenseless USC Trojans at number 5, Washington.
I think that game is in the Coliseum, I think. Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know what? That's the interesting part. Washington's offense has been up and down since the win over Oregon. Let's have some fun. I'll pick USC.
Good. I got Washington. Number 13, LSU at number 8, Alabama.
And another tough one. LSU's playing great football right now. I mean, to their credit, they're playing great football. But I'm still going to take USC, by the way, is at home. I'm going to take Alabama.
Yeah, I got Alabama, and I'm going to switch it up because of you, and I'm going to take Missouri.
Okay. All right.
I mean, Georgia is so good, but they have shown vulnerability. They start slow.
Yeah.
And maybe one of these, they're going to get caught one of these times. You know, you're going to start slow one too many times, and you're going to get caught. So
yeah.
I'm going to take Missouri. Yeah. Like I know what I'm doing. So. Anyway, Well, that's that. It would start from scratch.
Which I know you're begging to start from scratch. You're begging.
I don't have Matt's number.
Something tells me he'll find you. If he's going 8-1,
he went 1-8. He went 8-1. He had to be beaming like, my God, I got to go on the radio.
If he went 1-8, he'd be in the witness protection program. You couldn't find him for a month. Hey,
he's
have a great.
Excited, so I'll contact him tonight. So.
Okay, have a great weekend.
Have a safe trip.
Thanks,
go
appreciate
beat,
it.
Go win.
There we go. Another big game. Okay.